Think it'd be good if you prayed for me. We live in a very technological age. But you know, all this technology just didn't happen overnight. It evolved. Probably, if you knew the truth about it, information and the beginnings of these understandings could have started centuries ago. Not just a few weeks ago or months ago, but it could have happened, started. Mathematical concepts could have happened. People knew those kind of things. Though the kind of information was built upon. I was born in 62, and I remember the late 60s. A lot of you young people, I know what you're thinking. Boy, that was a long time ago. Well, it wasn't a long time ago to me, really. I mean, I remember going to town, and toys was little tin trinkets. In the 5 and 10. We'd go around this one place, and I can still remember pop bottle caps. Not the tabs, the caps used to lay around. Crushed orange and these different things, and that's all gone. Cars, the 60 models cars, wasn't quite as technical as they are today. Was they, Brother Dan? They're not as technical in their... They come a long ways, is what I'm saying. In the ignition aspect, in the firing aspect, in the fueling aspect, the way they operate. I remember people, as I grew up, saying that they had a car that had over 100,000 miles on it, and most people thought they was lying. No, but that was true. My van's still running real good, and it's 230,000 pretty much, and going run like a top, and all those, and but the automotive have jumped on there too, haven't they, Brother Danny? He's a mechanic, you know. They've jumped on there. Electricity is taking steps by steps. I believe that the basis of our experience is personal. Between an individual and God. But it's still made up with influences of other people. In other people's experience. You know, there's things that I embrace that I never saw. I've never experienced, but I embrace the truth. As I heard the testimony of it. I embrace that idea and the scriptures. Not all of the ones that those that went after, there was one scripture I'm minded of that says something to the effect of that they gave a great witness to the resurrection of Christ. They're in Acts. They wasn't there when he was resurrected. But they gave great witness of something that happened in them. That witness went on to others, and others testified of what the Lord had done, and there was a building. Not the gospel itself building. It's what it is and has always been. But to the individual life, there is a building on. A building on. And a keep a going. Like for us tonight to look at some things that I think is valuable. In the idea of remembering, not forgetting, that there has been faithful, very faithful men and women that's went before us and that has shown us by their lives, by their determinations, by their prayers, by the witness of God upon their lives, by their sacrifices, by their persecutions, by their humblings, they've showed us a path. Want to start with a scripture? Oh, let's see. Let's look at Jeremiah 6th chapter. Jeremiah 6 and 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your soul. But they said, we will not walk therein." Now the idea, I think, of this scripture is that a traveler comes along, and he's headed for a certain destination, desirous of getting there, weary of travel, longing to get his destination so that he can relax and unload. To get there is important. And he comes upon a place of many crossroads, of confusion, not realizing where they all go, not knowing the ends of them. And to get to that place, the recommendation of the Lord was to ask, look, seek, find not just any way, because there is all kind of ways that challenges us on a daily basis. All kind of ways and different ways. And we're challenged by people saying, here's a way. Well, why do you do it that way? Here's a way. Why, this is as acceptable as the way you're going. Here's another way. And all these things come up. And then, you know, there is ways that seem like a good way. And there's all those. Now, up home, there's a place there that on about any map, you could see the road. If you went look at a map, you would see a road. And the road leads up a winding mountain up to what was the West Virginia Turnpike. That sounds big, don't it? Well, it was the West Virginia Turnpike back at the Civil War time. Right now, it's really not much more than a path in places. I can get through there about any time in my four-wheel drive truck. I can't get through there all the time in the winter, but I can get through in the summertime pretty much with my four-wheel drive truck. But a lot of people will come up there and be in that area, and they'll want to go over to a certain place and hit 250 in Virginia, and they'll put in their GPS where they want to go, and you know, it knows where you're at, and it will tell them to go up that road to get a shortest distance. Which is just over the mountain, and you'll run right in to 250. But there's also about 3-foot ruts in places. There's places the water is washed off. There may be a tree down. There's a sign at the bottom that says that we don't, after October 1st, no snow removal. So you don't know what you're getting into there, but it's a path. It's a way to get across there. If you was determined and diligent, you could do it. You maybe have to abandon your vehicle to do it. But there's a way to get over to where you're going, but it's not a good way to go. And GPS will do that to some people. But this scripture is saying you want to go to somewhere, you got an idea of where you're going, what you want to accomplish, where you want to go, but you, all of a sudden you're bombarded with paths. Paths. Decisions. Decisions on how they're going to get there. So the Lord recommends that you ask for the tried, the proven, what's already been established. When you talk about the good way, you don't want just a path across the mountain. You want something that's been worked on, leveled out. You have somebody gone ahead of you. Another one's been ahead of you. And you come along, and if you have to, you ask the good one. This path that's talking about is what saints have went across. What this is talking about, this writer was trying to say, you get into those kind of places, ask, which way did Abraham go? How did Abraham do this one? What was his way of this path? You may have a dissension with a family member. What did Abraham do? He bowed the Lot. Lot, take your toy. How did Abraham do it when it come to faith? How did he give his life to it? There's a path there that Abraham took. And you could say, which way did Abraham take? Which way did Moses take? What's a path that the saints have trod through? This is the Old Testament, of course, and talking of Old Testament times, and you got decisions to make. And there was people, Moses was said, of that he didn't choose. pleasure for a season, of sin for a season. It would have been easy enough to have took that path, but he didn't take that path. And Moses took a path of faith in God, to look to God. And times was hard, look to God. He chose to go God's way. Which way did the saints of old go? Which is the way Caleb go? When Caleb come down to it, and now Caleb is a man that could have very well been. I've looked at it and said, it would be easy for Caleb to be an embittered here. He didn't do what the other one's done. Where did he spend him 40 years at? Honestly, we face relationship problems. We face problems where you say, wait a minute, I didn't do anything. You ever been there? I didn't do anything. Well, Caleb was there with them. Those wandering years in the wilderness with those stiff-necked people, he went with them. He could have very well been embittered. But was he embittered? No, he come back. You know, his shoes didn't wear out either. And he come back and he said, my strength is just like it was before. Give me what you promised me. You know, that promise held him all those years. God's going to be faithful. A path was walked down. Showed us what path to... Remember what those men have went through. The life of Joseph. You folks are doing it, or at least Webb City has been studying that in Sunday schools. You're studying the life of Joseph. Well, it looks like maybe he could have had a right to have been bitter at his brothers. He was done wrong. He could have even blamed God for not being God enough or not caring enough to keep him out of bad, bad situations. But he didn't do that. He took a path. And there's a path for us. And I'm thankful in a world that we live in, that we still have the option. We still have the ability of our minds. And I like to say, especially to the young people here that maybe haven't done it, I would recommend to you that you embrace those that have been successful in living for God. And look at the path that they took. So the Lord says, seek, look, ask, which one of these paths did the old brothers take? Well, now you don't want that path. Look at all the hardship Joseph had. You don't want to go through that. You want to take an easier path, one graded a little better, one with a little better place on it. No, I want to know where the old path's at. I want to follow the ones that went before. The Lord gave a little illustration here of a traveler or a people that's going somewhere, a destination. Going to leave Webb City, going to go back to Neosho. There's a path, there's a good path. I've done it. I know how to get there. I know what would be about the quickest way to get there. I imagine if I wanted to, I could go cross fences and down some streams and go some different ways. This is what he's saying, because he said, after he said this, he said, but you wouldn't do it. You wasn't willing enough to look and say, this was successful. Here's where God anointed. This is what God put his approval on. God blessed Abraham. God blessed Isaac and Jacob. Oh, yeah, oh, Jacob. Oh, Jacob was a scoundrel. You want to follow a path? You ever been a scoundrel? Yep. Oh, supplanter? Yep. Devious? Sneaky? Yep. Right there. Nailed me. I want to follow the path of Jacob. There's a path. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, many ways, ways plural, in the ways, all these ways. In our modern time, and I want to put a little side note here to this, I am very aware that there is movement. As we're not legalistic. We're not just trying to make rules to things and follow things that don't make sense. We're not trying to do that. And there is things that move along the way. I'll give you an example. If this kind of a shirt was worn exclusively in the culture by drug dealers, that was a symbol of people that done bad things, I wouldn't wear a shirt. But to hold on to that long after there's been drug dealers doing it wouldn't make no sense. It's the principle that don't change. You don't want your good to be evil spoken of. But we're not careful, we get a hold of things and then won't turn loose of them for nothing when they don't even make any sense. We don't want to be legalistic. But we want to follow the right path. The good path. The path that really led to holiness and righteousness. And God put His approval and His stamp on it and said, this is my child. This is my way. Let me lead you. Let me take you through life to be able to show you. So now we're in 2014. We are not in the days of D.S. Warner. We're not in the days of John Wesley. And those that we look at and say, these were mighty men of God. But this is 2014. It's a long ways from there. But you know the principles that guided these men's lives were successful. They were successful. The idea is scriptural that we're not to be of this world. We're in the world, but we're not supposed to be of it. And when the world can't tell the difference in us, we're too close to it. There shouldn't be a great strain on people to look at you or to be in contact with you and not know who you are. I think in that event, there might be a case that you're on a wrong path. Because when you look and say, here's a path and here's the one that's on it, everybody's going to know you're on that path. So Lord, help us. Look at another scripture with me. Over in, I think it's Ezra. Ezra 3:10. It says, when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by chorus, in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because He is good, for His mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chiefs of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house, when the foundation of the house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice. And many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of the joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. Two different people making a lot of noise. You get the picture? The one that had never seen it was so enthusiastic about it. They had such desire for this thing. But the ones that had seen the glory of the other one, the other temple, the ancient ones that looked at it, they wept. Because they had lost so much. You're going to make a temple and you're not going to get even close. You don't have the ability to make the temple that they had before. And if you couldn't make the temple that they had before, where's the Ark of the Covenant? They didn't have it. Where is the pot of manna? Remember they had a pot of manna? Where's the pot of manna? Where's Aaron's rod? That though it was dry and cut off, continually budded. We don't have any of it. The ancients looked at the glory and inspiration of God on the old temple. What happened to the fire? You remember before, there was a fire that burned. Where's it at? And when the old ones looked and said, they wept. Now I bring this out for this point. Encourage our hearts tonight. But I do wonder sometimes. I wonder what some of our old brethren that lived before us would think. I wonder if some of the ancient men were still here and seeing the course of our lives. I wonder if, where we're rejoicing, I wonder if they'd just hang their heads and cry. You know, when I first got saved, been some years ago now, come around among the saints, we couldn't have a gathering. If we had a gathering of saints, whether it was impromptu or just come over to my house, you didn't leave a saint's house without him blessing you with prayer before you left. You know that? I mean, maybe it wasn't in your, but it was very common. We were praying people. I mean, everything prompted prayer. That's what the old people did. Everything that touched their lives it was more than that. It was giving God glory. It was living for God. It was blessing people with God. It was a matter of course. I heard of some of them old farmers that stopped every day in the course of their busy farming. They stopped every day to take time to pray. As a matter of course. Because God was that important to them. An earnest call for immediate prayer was so fundamental. I remember when it was Philip Doolittle was a little boy. He's a big man now, but he was a little boy. And he went running across the basement there in the chapel. And he tripped and he fell right, nose first, right into the corner block of the step. And just laid his nose over. Well, immediately blood gushed. The first word said was, "Let's pray." Because I was young in the Lord and I got, "What do you do? Oh no, what do you do? Let's pray." I think somebody grabbed me and "Let's pray." And we had prayer. I know what you... We ought to be doing something. You ought to be doing something. They was doing something. They was doing what was fundamental. They called upon the Lord on a quick situation. The Scripture says you can do it. Call on Him right early. That little boy went around for days testifying how his nose was broken. The Lord healed him. Well, I was there, and where I couldn't say conclusively it sure looked like his nose was busted over on his face. And when we got through, it wasn't. Because God had heard prayer, and it was the immediate process of the saints that they had done. Look to the old paths. Honestly, I think sometimes, I don't want to sound critical here, but I want to get the real burden of this to us. I think sometimes our people will come to the altar and the conclusion of it is that we're all just singing and rejoicing. And I think if the ancients were there, they'd weep for the lack of real meaningful things. I think sometimes in our service, I wonder sometimes in our just services, in our lightheartednesses of things, I wonder sometimes if we rejoice I wonder if some of the ancients wouldn't weep and say, Lord, have mercy. Where is your glory? Where is the God that's so quick to answer? Where is the one that we so faithfully look to? Seems so off now that we'll do everything to do before we take it to God. Seems like the older ones seem like they took it to God first. Didn't see what the Lord had them to do. In this scripture, you can see the setting. The people were out of captivity again. They were going back to their own way of worship. They was going to be allowed to worship their own and do their own thing. And these young people, no doubt, had longed and those kind of things. They had longed to be able to do that. And they longed to have their own temple. They longed to get it back. But oh, how short it came to the ones that had seen it before. Folks, I don't want to lose anything in my day, in my reign, at my time. I speak for myself. I'll speak for all the ministers. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to be able to have the message. Lord, help us to be able to deliver. I think a few months ago, the Lord just so impressed me with the value of the Word of God. I think the older ones in my life put such treasure to it. They put such value to the Word of God. Such value. It's what's going to save us. Lord, help us. Let's look at another scripture. Over in Psalms 77th Psalm, 77 and 10. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. This is my difficulty. This is my infirmity. This is my sickness. This is my problem. But I will remember not all the failures, not looking at the problem, but I'm going to remember the right hand of the Lord. That's the victory hand. That's the strength hand. That's the deliverance hand of God. I'm going to look to the right hand of God. I'm going to look to the one that's brought victory. He's done it before. He'll do it again. This path that these people that went before us, that have trod before us, they laid straight paths, folks. They laid straight paths for us. Well, it's not always pretty. It's not always easy. There's some steep climbs sometimes. There's some hard ways sometimes. It's not what it is, it's where it goes. Where does this end up at? If I follow this path of self-denial, where do I end up at? Just run down and depressed in this world, where do I go if I follow the way of self-denial? Where do I go if I follow the way of suffering? Where does the path go? I want to know where it goes. Because I've seen God's people go down it. I've seen the faithful go down the path. And when I look at it, I say, Lord, help me to go down the same path that they went down. Because they had the victory. They held true down through their lives. There was a man in the scriptures whose name was Saul. God had a mission for him. God had a plan for him. God made a way for him. He got to the end of a long path. He traveled the same path that ancient brothers went down. He was on a bad path. He was on the wrong path. Thinking that he was doing God's will, he was on the wrong path. But God put him back on the right path. And oh, what a run he made. And he ended it, 2 Timothy 4, by saying, I've finished my course. Yeah. I have fought a good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. That road ended in keeping the faith. That finishing the course. That ended in victory for him. Willing. A willingness to serve God in anything is a part of the path. Lord, this seems rough. Obedience is part of the path. He went down that path. Instead of looking, and I think this is as human as it can be, but folks, listen to me. It'll help us. Remember. Remember. Those that went before us. Remember what they went through. Remember what God delivered them in. Remember what they suffered. Remember that victory because of this. It is easy, real easy, and it's real human to get so discouraged because of the problems and difficulties that we have in our lives. It is so easy to be knocked off course because of hardships, suffering, pain, all these things. It's so easy to get knocked off course and choose a path that's not the path of the saints. It's not the path of the righteous. It's not the path of the holiness. It's a detour.
That's true.
That may look like a four lane in your life.
Yes.
That narrows and gets narrower and narrower and ends in a precipice somewhere to where you fall off an endless doom. Failure, losing out with the Lord and never knowing the difference. That's the truth. It ends in nothing. It ends in not a good path. We've seen it too often, but we've seen people that did it. We've seen people that lost the way of the old path. They was like this. They did not want it. And when it was presented, they chose different. Many people have been on the good path and purposely got off of it, away from it, because it's a straight and narrow way. It is difficult and hard. Now, you've probably heard me tell this, but I was touched by the story of some people in a prison war camp. It was Army officers in World War II. It was in a prison war camp. And they was always trying to escape. And so these guys was going to escape. And this was hard to believe, but it's what the story was. They actually had to ask, of course, their commanding officer in the camp. They had to coordinate everything, so they told him, yeah, they could give it a try. So one night, they had meticulously figured out how to get out of their room, out of their part of the combat. They couldn't get out of it. They're just going to have to try to get out of the outer ring. And so they got out successfully, and they was going around, and they found a little place through a wall. It's kind of like part of a hole through a chimney is what it was like, and it was like 36 inches long, but it was only 9 inches tall. And it had a 45 degree angle in it, I think. And 9 inches ain't very much. Even if you ain't been eating very good. They went and they looked and they looked, and finally time was running out on them. And they had to go. And they finally said, right there is the way out. No highway. No big doors. That little hole is victory. That's escape. That's the way through right there. So they put the littlest guy through. He stripped off. Folks, it's the way of the race. And he got in there and got his hands out and the other two pushed him. And he wiggled and they pushed and he wiggled and they, 9 inches, they popped him through after a while. And I imagine he left bark inside there. It was concrete. So then they got the biggest guy. And he got in there. And the one on the outside is a pulling. And the guy on the inside is a pushing. And he's wiggling. If you're claustrophobic, you know, it's one of these don't try this at home moments. This is stuck in their hole. Wiggling. And then, you know, he pulled him through. 45 minutes, I think it was, of total pulling and exertion to get him through that path. I've seen saints die. You know, the Scripture says that the wicked don't have the same bonds as the righteous do. You know, they can die easy sometimes. I know that's a contradiction of what we think, but I know what the Scripture is talking about. Because I've seen the righteous fight for eternal life right down to the last breath. And sometimes the wicked just die with a hurrah and throw a party for me when I'm done. But I saw Brother Jim White he had been sick for a while, but the major sickness that hit him happened in June. And he died the 13th of August. And in those 2 months, this very faithful man was continually digging and working and battling. He was like a man in that hole. And trying to get out to the other side with victory. Stuck at times in there, wondering and worrying, wanting to clear everything so much that he dug back for 40 years to try to make sure it was clear. He would call me and say, "Brother Marty, would you come over? I need to talk to you." And I'd go over and he would tell me something that he was concerned about. And I would think, so trivial. But I ain't the one dying. And I'd tell him, "Brother Jim, you got to do what you got to do. You got to do what you got to do. You got to keep it clear." And Brother Jim fought and he fought and he fought. You know what I take that as? An old path. I take it as a good way. Because here is a man, I believe with all my heart, come out on the other side on the 13th day of August. Amen. Best I remember, Brother Jim, one of the first waves to fly over and drop into Normandy on D-Day. June 6, 1945. Your Brother Jim's one of the first waves. He said of all things, he was the 13th man in line on the 13th plane. He said, "I ain't got a chance." You know, the old unlucky. An unlucky 13. He said, "I ain't got a chance. Too much against me. Too many 13s. That's what he felt like. A young man that Brother Jim had touched his life testified at his funeral. He said, "Brother Jim died on the 13th. It never was unlucky for him." Now, I know you'd say, "Well, it sounds unlucky." That's the day he got through. That's the day that he went to see Jesus. He made it, you see. The path that he was on, that wasn't unlucky. That was lucky. He had made it through the war. God had spared him all those things. He come home a hard and bitter man. And he left forever this testimony. I didn't live through the things that he did. I didn't have the situation and never had the situation with his wife. I've never had that situation. He had a terrible situation. He had terrible, all kinds of terrible things happen to him in his life. He said, he told me personally, he said, "I come home from the war so bitter, so hard of heart." He said, "I looked at the child that was mine and the wife that I had left for years and had no human feelings at all." What would you do if you were seeing your buddy's head blowed off and dismembered and all those kind of things? Would you go crazy or would you steel yourself against it? Brother Jim steeled himself with hardness of heart. You can't erase that when you come home. Do you know what the Lord did for him? Made one of the most tender, gentlest men I ever saw. Where is the path? Brother Jim used to tell us often, repentance is lost, he would say. He said, "You can talk to all these religions out here and they'll talk all these things, but you say anything about repentance and they'll turn you off." Brother Jim believed in repenting because it was a part of the old path. It was part of what got him into the graces of God. So there was a testimony, and I brought that out because you may have not known him, but you've known yours. Most of us have. Yes. There is a lot of good literature. I know. Seems so outdated, 2014. The principles aren't.
That's true.
The principles aren't. Those old brothers that thought, that drove this country around without two quarters in their pocket to rub together? That trusted God that much? I have a credit card in my pocket. It's a debit card. I can't spend anything that I don't have, but I got that in my pocket. Cars run better. Highways are better. I can't change all that for grace's purposes. I can't change it and make it a rougher life at it, but the principle's the same. They trusted God. They trusted God with the difficulty of their life. That's the path. That's the path. 2014, there is still a God. And you look at the uncertainties of our nation and our world, and you may get completely distressed over it, but I'm going to tell you, what they did with theirs in the path that they went down, they trusted God. That's what God wants us to do. You've got something in your life that's too big for you, I would say you work with the Lord with that until you can honestly give that thing to God, because that's what the yoke with honor's done. That's what they taught to do. Give it to the Lord. Let the Lord carry that thing for you. And you go on rejoicing.
That's true.
I lived in a congregation with Brother Sammons. I'll be honest with you. The first time I ever saw Brother Sammons, I said, "Who is that?" He talked with kind of, you know, Brother Sammons had that old rough, deep voice. I am so glad God let me follow him for a few years in ministry. Because he was the one that would stand up and say, I remember when it was 35, 30-some, live by faith for 30-some years and God has always provided. Live for God 37 years and God's always provided. Live for God 40 years and God's always provided. Kept saying that, and every time he said that, I would say, I want that testimony. I want that testimony. First time I told that little bit, I think I said, I've been out full time for a year. And the Lord's always provided. Well, not a lot of testimony. Not a lot of testimony there. Next year, Lord willing, I'll be able to say, 20 years I've lived full time. And he's met every need. 20 years of God being faithful. I have an experience with the Lord. But I've followed others. We stand on the shoulders of giants, the old saying is. We stand in the path of those that went before us, clearing the way many times for what it means to have faith in God. For what it means to love God enough to be persecuted, prosecuted, even to death. We walk behind them. But if God wills, and there's a generation follows us, have we made straight paths? Have they got the same sense of faithfulness? Same sense of honor? The same sense of devotion from our generation? Oh, I know. Everybody can get in their mind of those failures and all that. We know that. I don't look at that. Sure, many people's come off the path. They're still a path. They're still a path. The Savior walked the path and showed us how. And from that time, faithful men went down that path, personalizing it to us. See, I consider them giants. Brother Jim, Brother Golden, Brother Max, Sister Sammons, Brother Sammons, Brother Clifford Wilson. These men shaped my life. They shaped my life. You can't go ask them any questions. They lived a life and went away. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of thy right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. The wonders of old. I want to leave that with you today, that there has been people that has walked this way before. It's a heritage. It is. It's a heritage. Was faithful all the way through. Maybe you have yours in your life, but there's others in my life, some of natural family. Brother Vaden McMillan was such a faithful man. Never ceased to be challenged. Oh, I'm not talking about great oratory abilities. I'm talking about a man of integrity and honor before God. True. Always true. I never doubted him because he was true. He was true and honest. Never doubted him. Oh, we have a lot of those that we've had in our time. And I thank God for every one of them. But it leaves me with my challenge now. What am I going to do with it? You know, we can get the idea. Well, I told Alan here, we were talking. Alan told me about a man that had made a very big mistake at something. And he had never made a mistake like that before. And I told Alan, I said, he'd be worth hiring now. And follow me here. You know why? If I had something to do and somebody come up to me and said, I've been doing this for a long time and I never make a mistake, I'd say, well, I'll probably hire somebody else. Because you're going to make one. But I'm going to tell you what mistakes can do for you. They can make you. Now, we don't promote mistakes. I don't know of any of these men that I'm telling you about that didn't tell me I've made mistakes. And let me tell you what to do with them. See, this path takes it in. I've not been faithful, and I want to show you what the Lord did. I've had my mistakes. I would way rather have somebody that done that and said, I made that, and boy, is that, I've got it on me now. I know that one. I've done things before that I said, I'll never do that one again. I was playing basketball as a little boy one time, well, a teenage, young teenager, and going along, and the basketball went to rolling, and I went chasing it, and there was a big old rock there. And I went and ran, and I picked that rock up, and I was just playing. I wasn't angry. I was just playing. And I run up to that basketball, and I threw that rock, and I hit it. I mean dead center. And the rock come back and got me dead center. And I said, never going to do that again. And I never done it again. And what I'm saying is mistakes are on the way many times. But the old, that path of old, when we make them, that's a great time to say, where is the path? Where's the path? Where is the way that the saints went? How can I go where I need to go? And the Lord has a path. There is a way of forgiveness if you need it. There's a way of mercy. It's all on the path. You pray for me.